Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Live from our WSBT radio studios in downtown South Bend.
Let's go! Come on!
Welcome to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Wow, don't blink. A lot of major intestinal fortitude going on here.
On your home for Notre Dame football.
Knocked down by Wooden. The game is over. The Irish is upset. Florida State. Notre Dame is number one.
And Notre Dame basketball.
Number one ranked UCLA Bruins have been upset by the Irish of Notre Dame.
Good! Arike Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Plus, Fighting Irish hockey.
They score! Jake Evans scores! Notre Dame 3.7 seconds away from a spot in the national championship game.
The NFL and Major League Baseball.
Oh my gracious, how about that?
Sports Radio 960 WSBT, WSBTradio.com, the free WSBT radio app.
Big time budgets.
Now here's your host, seven-time Associated Press Broadcasting Award winner, Darren Pritchett.
Greetings. Welcome back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. 7 minutes after 5 o'clock on this Wednesday, April the 17th of 2024. My name is Darren Pritchett, joined by my co-host for the 5 o'clock hour, Hall of Fame writer, publisher, and editor at InsideIndySports.com, which means he covers Notre Dame athletics as part of the Rivals Network. Say that one more time.
And sometimes dominates the Rivals.
Oh, there's no doubt. You have the number one story on Rivals often. In fact, you probably do today with your chat transcript.
I will check that out for you. Okay. Confirm or deny.
Confirm or deny. All right, so we've got some pre-Blue Goal game conversations to get to on the program tonight here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. In the 6 o'clock hour, I want to play back some audio from a few weeks ago when we heard from two guys who are really making noise this spring and both know each other very, very well. And I am talking about Bryce Young and Micah Gilbert, who are probably going to be factors on this football team in 2024. We'll talk a little Irish basketball with Notre Dame picking up a player from the portal today, and they lost a player to the transfer portal. Not a big surprise, though, last night. And we'll have our sports wagering segment. Went 3-2 last night. We've got four picks coming your way tonight here on WSBT Radio. This first thing I'm going to mention isn't necessarily breaking news. It's just more about we're going to learn the details. It sounds like on Saturday, but footballscoop.com is reporting that Notre Dame will announce the plans on the much-anticipated brand-new football facility before the Blue Goal game on Saturday. We'll get some of the details on that. And so I think, Eric, at this point, we knew they were going to get a brand new facility. It was more about where it's going to be located. So we'll probably find that out on Saturday. And I think we have a good idea, but it'll all become official on Saturday if this report is correct, which I assume it is.
Right. I assume it is. So I think what we know is that if you've seen the tennis facility, the indoor tennis facility, and the tennis courts, those will be moved to another part of campus, and then the Google will extend out down that road. And so it'll be close to the current Google, so it'll all be kind of interconnected, and then the indoor facility and the practice facility will be across the street. So it's a pretty good setup and much needed. And I think then people will have to think of something new to complain about.
Why don't you address what you just said, much needed? For the Irish football fan that doesn't dig into all those type of things, why is this new facility needed, despite the fact, as we found out from our previous head coach, we need a chef here.
Yeah.
We need chef quarters.
So, and a new cafeteria, new nutrition space is nice. Coming. I asked new athletic director Pete Bavacqua about this during our one-on-one interview a couple weeks ago. And he said, we've simply outgrown the Goog. It was on the leading edge when it was built. It was finished in 2005. And so what's happened? Well, first of all, you have much larger football staff. You have more analysts. You have more recruiting staff, a bigger infrastructure with football, and they're all kind of on top of each other in the offices. So you need more offices. Recovery space. And this is something that Pete Bavacqua really emphasized. In sports science, Notre Dame wants to be on the leading edge. And when you're talking about injury prevention and injury recovery, you want that recovery space. And Notre Dame doesn't have adequate space. They certainly have the technology. They have the know-how. John Wagle is big with that. He's part of the sports performance team that joined in May of 2022. And then Lauren Lando, the new director of football performance. A place where everybody can eat together and that they can have kitchen facilities so that you don't have to truck everything across campus and cater in the meals. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's going to be study space in there. So there's not going to be reason that they have to leave the Goog ever if they don't want to. But, I mean, it'll all be in one place. So it does help your football team in a lot of ways. It's really pragmatic. I mean, I think when people think of facilities – a lot of times they're thinking of, you know, the slide at Clemson. And,
the bowling alley.
Yeah, the bowling alley, kind of really way off bells and whistles. And this won't be that. And really, if you look at, if you've ever been in Notre Dame's indoor facility, the beauty is in the pragmatism of it, how functional it is. And it is a beautiful facility, but, you know, there's not, you know, I don't know, a pinball machine or something. I don't know. That's a terrible example. But there's
a movie theater.
A movie theater. Yeah. A movie theater with a popcorn dispenser. I mean, it's very functional, and this will help Notre Dame be better during the week and on Saturday. So I think it's something very exciting, and it's overdue.
Okay.
But Brian Kelly's whole assertion that it was never coming, I think it was just, you know, you had to wait a little bit, and the pandemic slowed fundraising down for it. Well, it's here.
All right. So according to footballscoop.com, we'll have the scoop on the new facility before the Blue Gold game on Saturday. So that might just play into our pregame show. Eric and I will have the play-by-play of the Blue Gold game Saturday at 1:05. Our pregame starts at 12:30, so we might have some of those details to pass along to you when you tune into us here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. I want to come back to football, of course, in a second. Let me move away from football for one moment. Matt Olico verbally committed to Notre Dame basketball today. I went to the Princeton game notes, and they did not have a pronunciation guide for his name, so I'm assuming it is pronounced just like it looks, Olico. And he's a 6'4 guard that has 1 year of eligibility remaining. He comes from the Ivy League and Princeton University, where this season he averaged 12.7 points, 2.9 rebounds, 3.3 assists, but his shooting percentage really stands out. And I know sometimes you can make stats look good for yourself, but we'll throw it out there. I read today he's the only player in the nation playing at least 25 minutes, averaging 10 points per game, that averaged over 50% shooting from the field, 40% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. His exact numbers, 50.8% from the field, 42.7 from three, and 90% from the free throw line. And he played one game against a Power 5 conference team, and he fared very well against Rutgers on November 6th, 21 points on 9 of 13 shooting. They were great defensively this year, so I'm impressed by that. Hit one of two threes and two of two from the free throw line. I think we're all curious how much impact or how much Notre Dame is willing to invest in the transfer portal moving forward. We know football is willing to go all in on a player they need, like at the quarterback position. But I'm curious the amount of things that Micah Shrewsbury has at his disposal to go get the players that he wants out of the portal. We will see, of course, over time. So this is a good, solid pickup, a needed three-point shooter to go along with Braden Shrewsbury. And it sounds like he's a pretty decent ball handler, tough kid. So it just kind of feels like the player Micah Shrewsbury was going to get, that type of guard out of the portal.
Yeah, Dick Vitale had very nice things to say about him. He played on a very good Princeton team. They won the Ivy League regular season. They did not win their tournament. That's why they ended up in the NIT, 24-5. He's a two-year starter. Played his high school ball in suburban Columbus at Hilliard Bradley High School. Back when I lived in Columbus, there was only Hilliard High School and it was little. Now they have multiple high schools. It's a big growing area in Columbus area.
Okay, we'll see if Micah adds something else from the portal. I have a feeling recruiting is going to be vital for the livelihood of Notre Dame basketball. I can't imagine that the portal is going to be something that they're going to use to build their team. It's going to be probably a way to add an asset along the way. Otherwise, they're going to have to recruit extremely well, plain and simple. So we'll see what Matt Alico can add to Marcus Burton and Braden Shrewsbury and Tay Davis. Tay Davis. So that's four starters, maybe.
There
the fifth to be determined is Kerry Booth. No surprise. He left the Notre Dame basketball program, a top 75 recruit, gone after 1 year. Okay, now back to regularly scheduled programming. As we get back to Notre Dame football, we need a new punter, it sounds like. How about that? That was a big surprise. Bryce McPherson goes to the transfer portal, 3 years of eligibility.
Yeah, I was surprised. Apparently, the Notre Dame coaching staff wasn't caught off guard, although it must have happened here fairly recently that he decided that he wanted to do it. It's a little odd, given the fact that there was a clear path. Eric Goins, the 30-year-old transfer from Citadel who hasn't played competitive football in almost a decade.
Retired from the U.S. Army resume.
Yeah, he did both place kicking and punting during the spring and apparently had a good spring. Notre Dame could go to the portal and probably get somebody comparable to McPherson. He's a really good athlete and had potential to be a very good punter. He certainly had the leg. He didn't have the precision that John Sott had a couple of years ago, but they're going to have transfers, especially if they add more, but you know, they're at 88 right now scholarships. They have to be down to 85. That's with McPherson going out the door. But yeah, that was a little bit of a head scratcher.
I'd forgotten, and I'm glad your colleague Tyler James pointed it out in his story at InsideIndySports.com about Bryce, that Notre Dame was only 83rd in the country in net punting last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had times that he wasn't consistent with his hang time, so there would be returns, and then he wasn't consistent in terms of letting the ball float into the end zone instead of getting it to go out of bounds at maybe the six. So that's where your net gets eaten up pretty quickly. But he certainly had the potential to be that kind of punter, and I mean, not everybody gets it right away. That's why Sott beat him out when Bryce was a freshman, is that John Sott was really good about placement and hang time.
Okay, so portal shopping, possibly for the Fighting Irish at the punter position. I wonder, I thought of this today, just a fun thought. Mm-hmm. If you're a really, really good punter, would you rather be on a team that has a great offense and you rarely punt, or would you rather be on an average offense that you get to punt a whole lot more?
I would rather be on a team that has a chance to make the playoff and experience that if I'm a fifth-year guy or a sixth-year guy, and so that would be my determining factor. I figure if I'm an NFL caliber punter, which I'm not, I would feel like there was enough on film. But, I mean, when you do play with the better teams and the better offenses, you don't give it as get as many chances. Nope. Also, you're probably punting from inside the 50 a lot and maybe just can't air it out as much, and you have to be more precise. But, I mean, the people that scout you, they look at that stuff. And I know as a Ray Guy Award voter, they drill down deep. They don't care what your raw average is at all. I mean, it's all about the net punting and all those little, you know, inside the 20 and how many of them are returned. That's what they're looking at.
He's Eric Hansen, publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com. I'm Darren Pritchett. When we come back, what did Eric take away from C.J. Carr's performance on Saturday during the scrimmage at Notre Dame Stadium? When we hear there were 8 sacks in the game, should we be excited that the defense got 8 sacks? Should we be concerned the offense gave up 8 sacks? It's always when you face your own team, there's a little give and take. Right. So we'll have Eric talk about that and maybe a thought on Matty Westfeld returning. Not a surprise, but a done deal. Those conversations coming up in a moment. 5:21 on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. It's 5:26, and we welcome you back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, brought to you by Budweiser and Ghost Energy. It's the feel-good energy drink we've all been waiting for, featuring Sour Patch Kids-inspired flavors. First State Bank, committed to being a premier financial partner, First State Bank demonstrates and delivers hometown values. By Bethel University Athletics, sign-ups for youth summer sports camps are underway. Visit bupilots.com for details. And Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, now with 3 locations, serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. I'm Darren Pritchett, joined by Eric Hansen, the Hall of Fame writer, publisher, and editor at InsideIndySports.com, covering Irish athletics as part of the Rivals Network. All right, the Blue Gold game is coming up on Saturday. Eric and I will have the play-by-play here on WSBT Radio. Hope you'll join us at 12:30 for the pregame, 1:05 Eastern time. The game will get underway, and we will get a look at C.J. Carr as part of the Blue Gold game, the freshman quarterback out of the state of Michigan. Now, C.J. Carr joined the Irish for bowl preparation as Notre Dame, of course, went to the Sun Bowl to take on Oregon State and really took apart that Oregon State football team. But C.J. Carr was working during practice and, of course, a part of spring practice this year. On Saturday, the team held a closed scrimmage. Eric, you were there at Notre Dame Stadium watching this particular scrimmage. And no matter who you follow on the Notre Dame beat, everybody listed C.J. Carr as one of the stars of Saturday's scrimmage. Now, Marcus Freeman said this isn't just a one-day deal, that this has been consistent. He has watched C.J. Carr perform at a high level going all the way back to December. So, Eric, I guess I'm curious from your standpoint. Number one, what did you see from C.J. Carr on Saturday? And then I'll ask a follow-up question. So okay. We'll start with that.
So let me preface this that they rotated series. Somebody was asking me how many snaps did each person take. I didn't count that, but Steve Angeli got 4 series, and then Minchie and Carr each got 3 series. And C.J. Carr was either directing the 3 offense or directing the 2 offense, and then he was either going against the 3 defense or the 2 defense. He looked incredibly poised and incredibly consistent. If you and all of them went against the number 2 defense at some point, even Steve Angeli did. In fact, that was first who he faced was the number 2s. So they all faced the same. There was an apples to apples comparison, at least in the defense that they faced at some point. He just looked incredibly poised, made incredibly good decisions. His arm talent was there. Break into, I'm going to run it here too quickly. He kept his eyes downfield. He had a pass to a walk-on named Jack Polian that led to a touchdown run by him on the next play. I'd say about a 30-yard pass to the 1 or 2 yard line that I would be surprised that Sam Hartman made it. It was really impressive. Again, we've only really kind of seen him warm up and do drills since the very first day. So this was our first extended look at it. And really, when you're talking three series, you're not getting a huge sample size, but none of his ended in an interception. Steve Angeli had two in interceptions, one of which was a pick six. Kenny Minchie had one end in interception, and that was a pick six.
And CJ made some walk-ons look pretty good.
He made some walk-ons look pretty good. I mean, he was not playing with the number one offense or the number one offensive line, and that's where the biggest difference is. That number one offensive line to all the reserves on the offensive line, there's a huge cliff there. And they were having trouble. Then Notre Dame's number two defense is good. So, but he was impressive, and I realize, again, people read into that, well, does that mean he's going to overtake Steve Angeli? I'm not saying that. I think what C.J. Carr is doing now is all about setting him up to compete for the 2025 job. It's not about him being number two necessarily next year or whatever. It's just continuing to get better, and he impressed us on Saturday.
With the way Marcus Freeman has applauded the work of C.J. Carr, does he have to be careful? And I'm also bringing in the thought process of the offensive coaches. You don't want to slow down his progress. You want to continue to push him. But if you push him too much, Eric, it gets a little complicated because you don't want him to absolutely bypass Kenny Minchie because you'd like Minchie to stick around this particular program. So this is one of those situations that it's nice to have a complicated situation, but at the same time, don't you have to kind of nurse all these quarterbacks at this current time, and then in the fall you look at it a little differently? Because let me say this. I said yesterday, I wonder if the coaching staff will handle Carr differently this week in practice, working with a different personnel group based on Marcus saying he's looked good for a long time.
I think you can do that in the summer, and you can do it in August. Right now, you've got a transfer portal window open until the 30th. You'd like everybody to stay, including Kenny Minchie. And I do think if you get too aggressive with it, you could cause Kenny Minchie to think, you know, wow, am I getting jumped here? Is there a path for me? Am I getting farther away from it? I think the thing that I'm encouraged about Kenny Minchie, he makes some athletic plays. I mean, he made mistakes and he made really athletic plays. And there's a argument to be made about him being in the mix for 2025. That's why I keep saying, people say, is Steve Angeli going to overtake Riley Leonard? He also has to compete with the two guys behind him. There's not been a 3 and a 4 this good on the same roster since I can remember. I mean, again, maybe my memory's not good, but I cannot remember a 3 and a 4 where I thought this exciting. So Kenny Minchie's got some real talent there. There's not upside for him in that he can't get better. The thing is, can he get better because of C.J. Carr, or is he, you know, evaluate at some point and say, boy, I'd like a clearer path to compete? I think as long as he thinks he's in the mix to be the starter in 2025, he would stick around. But I do think there is some finessing with what you do in this last week of spring.
Okay, I'm going to blend offense and defensive conversation in this next segment because I want to ask, do you feel like on Saturday you saw the offensive line starters that we'll see in the fall together during this scrimmage? And when we hear that there were 8 sacks by the defense, how do you tell Irish fans to be excited about the sacks and not be concerned about giving up 8 sacks from an offensive line and pass protection perspective.
Right. And the eight sacks are somewhat subjective in that Marcus has to kind of blow the whistle or call it because you can't tackle the quarterback. There's a chance they could have gotten away every one of those, and there's also a chance there could have been more of them.
But the pressure was real.
The pressure was real, and some of it was not on the offensive line. Some of it was a back not blocking. Some of it was the quarterback not making a good decision and kind of holding on to the ball and not being aware of the rush. And I should point out that I do think there's two battles that are still going on the offensive line. I still think Emil Wagner and Tosh Baker are battling at right tackle. And I think Rocco, when he's healthy in the summer and in the fall, will have a chance to battle for an interior position. But I thought it kind of looked like what you thought it was going to be. I thought they were functional. I thought they did better, again, in run blocking than they did with pass blocking. Last year it was the opposite, although you had Joe Alton, Blake Fisher. But, you know, they weren't physical enough with their run blocking last year consistently, especially in the interior. I think that's one of the reasons Billy Shrouth is in there now. And I think Ashton Craig brings some butt kicker energy to that group too. But the defense is so good, Darren. You've got this veteran defensive line that's deep that can just come at you in waves. Notre Dame will not play a defensive line as good as their own this year. They won't. Then you have this athletic young linebacker group, and Al Golden is going nuts with it and giving these guys niche roles and rolling them in. So you've got these athletes like Jaden Osbury and Kingston Viliamu-Asa who aren't even starters that have a role, and it's hard. It's hard to deal with all that pressure because Mike Denbrock wants them to, and Marcus Freeman wants them to dial it up. He wants these guys to get used to this so they can grow now. This is about growth time for the offense. This is about polish time for the defense.
Yeah, that's the difference. Year three of Al Golden, you've got all these veteran players back. The defense at this point of the spring kind of knows what the offense is going to do. I'm sure a couple of times when defenders stepped in front of receivers.
They may know more. I mean, they're learning the play. The offense is still learning the plays.
Yeah. So the defense should be well ahead of the offense at this point. You only hope facing such a premier defense while you're learning a new offense is going to benefit these guys on the offensive side of the football. Once we get to that first game against Texas A&M, nothing's going to prepare you for Texas A&M more than going up against this Fighting Irish defense game in and game or week in and week out. And here's the thing, Eric. The defense looks spectacular, and you could argue, not saying it's the case, but you could argue the best defensive player's not even on the field right now.
You could argue that, although Xavier Watts and some Howard Cross and some of the others may argue with you, but
Ben Morrison,
at least on day one, looked like the best player on the field, and he may be. I mean, he's in their class. I think Ben Morrison, healthy, will be an All-American this year for Notre Dame.
Hey, I thought Howard Cross was the MVP of the defense last year, and that's out of no disrespect to Watts, who was the National Defensive Player of the Year, but I thought for the Irish that Howard Cross was the guy.
Howard Cross did an unbelievable job. I think part of why he didn't get he was if there was a unanimous second team, he was. I mean, he was second team on all the big teams that determine unanimous and consensus All-American. He was just second team. But I think the fact he's not viewed as a high draft choice for an NFL prospect is the reason maybe he gets some points deducted there from people that vote. But Xavier Watts had the stats. I mean, he had the interceptions, and that's what people are looking for when they're voting on national awards. They're looking for those big stats. That's how Ben Morrison got them his freshman year. He had all the interceptions. It'll be curious. I mean, maybe Christian Gray is the guy with all the interceptions this year because people try to throw at him and go, oops, that was a bad idea.
That's exactly right. Eric Hansen, the publisher, the editor at InsideIndySports.com. I'm Darren Pritchett. Sportsbeat continues here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. One other topic I want to get to in this particular segment. Eric covers Notre Dame women's basketball for InsideIndySports.com. You expected Maddie Westbell to return for one more year with the Irish women's basketball team. That became official a few days ago. Hidalgo, Miles, Citron, Westbell, Koval. That has the makings of a starting lineup where everybody averages in double figures. And they are going to be a handful in 2024-25. Just how important is Maddie Westbell coming back to the Fighting Irish?
Hugely important. This elevates them to a possible Final Four team. Now, they're going to have to add some pieces for a couple reasons, and they are expected to have some transfer portal bigs in for visits this weekend. I expect them to add two if they can find the right fit because they need more depth. But Westbell is a lot like Pat Geraghty was when he played for the men's team way back when I was covering them a few decades ago, in that she's a stretch four that really does so many different things, and she's a really difficult cover, especially if they get these other big players, because she can take you outside, she can take you inside, she can defend on the perimeter, she can defend in the post. Just having that consistency from her is great, but Notre Dame needs the numbers, even with Koval coming in, because Kylie Watson had ACL surgery, I want to say, last week. And so the timeline for her is kind of like 9 months, so that means she's not going to be ready at the beginning of the season, maybe at the middle of the season. So you need a couple other bigs. Becky Obinma is not going to be coming back, and she barely played this year anyway, so you need some size to go along with all those guards. I think Cass Prosper will play a little bit more forward, but you still need to defend the bigs. When you play the elite teams, they're going to have elite centers, and you need to, you know, not get into foul trouble. Nat Marshall's gone. She's transferring. That took away one of the bigs, and they may add a guard, but this is a terrific development for Notre Dame and having Maddie Westbell back.
All right, 5:42 on your home of the Irish and the Blue Gold game on Saturday, Sports Radio 960, WSBT. He's Eric, I'm Darren. We'll take a timeout, a couple more Irish football topics to get to, including last year's Blue Gold game. One of the stars was Jaden Greathouse, a terrific slot receiver that had to play a little outside wide receiver last year, but he's back in the slot. What does that mean for the Irish offense? We'll have that conversation coming up next as we broadcast live on 960 AM WSBT. We are streaming live at WSBTRadio.com, our WSBT radio app, and live on the Twitch app. .547 at Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Eric Hansen, the publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com, is in the house. I'm Darren Pritchett. Sports Beat continues, brought to you by Budweiser and Ghost Energy, Barnabys of Mishawaka and Granger, Bethel University Athletics, and First State Bank. We're going to continue our pre-Blue Gold game football conversation here on WSBT Radio. Let me start with some news that came out of Marcus's press conference on Saturday. Defensive lineman Tyson Ford is taking some time away from the football team to figure out his future. How would you describe where Tyson Ford was on your mock depth chart that you have at InsideIndySports.com? And I'm wondering, has he been passed, leading to possibly having a decision to make?
We had him at fourth at defensive tackle going into the spring out of five bodies there. Since then, Cole Mullins has moved inside from defensive end to defensive tackle and has been training there. And I think Mullins may have passed him as well, which knocks him down to fifth. Armel Mucum is hurt, and hasn't participated in any spring practices, so he's sixth. And it came up a lot in chat today. People are really curious because this was such a high-profile recruit, and it was such a big save on Marcus's part as the defensive coordinator to get him in the class. They had kind of lost him. Marcus recouped him, so people were excited to see where he goes. And honestly, Darren, you know, in last Blue Gold game, he was playing a little bit inside and a little bit outside. He looked good at the field end spot in some not real high leverage situations, but he looked good. I think maybe, you know, sometimes when you train at a couple of spots, it helps you. I think it probably hurt him. His body size changed a couple times. I mean, he's a hardworking kid, has good supports around him, and it just hasn't happened to this point, you know. And if he's in the transfer portal at some point this spring before April 30th, I don't think it's going to surprise anybody.
Now let's talk offense.
Okay.
Jaden Greathouse, dynamic in the Blue Gold game. We always take things in the Blue Gold game with a grain of salt, but I think...
Junior Jabby.
Yeah, Junior Jabby leading the charge. But Jaden Greathouse was expected to play a role on last year's team, and he did. Now, I was a little disappointed he had to leave the slot and play an outside receiver spot because that doesn't fit his skill set. He's back in the slot this spring. He's got Jordan Faison there with him. So I go back to the playoff run for the Irish a couple of times in 3 years. I always felt like the slot wide receivers Notre Dame had on offense didn't scare anybody, and Notre Dame had trouble defending the other team's slot wide receivers. Well, that's starting to now balance out because I think this is a dynamic set of slot receivers with Greathouse and Faison. Sounds like Greathouse is having a really good spring. What do you think that means for Mike Denbrock and the Fighting Irish offense? How big of a role will Jaden have on this year's team? Because the Faison kid's pretty good too, the reigning Sun Bowl MVP.
Right. So the good news is, you know, Mike Denbrock used to coach wide receivers, and he's good at making guys that have versatility, helping them realize that versatility and express that versatility. So you may see Jaden every once in a while go outside. He's not a burner, so you're like, well, what would be his best outside position? But let's just look at him as a slot receiver. He and Jordan Faison complement each other really well. Jaden is this physical, muscular guy that does such a good job of shielding the ball with his body, running great, precise routes. I mean, he's the best route runner on the team among the wide receivers. And then Jordan Faison is this burst of speed, a smaller guy that runs past people and that can cut on a dime. And you can see that in his lacrosse play, the way he spins and
love it,
lobs it in there, has 15 goals this year. So I think they are a really good match. And even behind them at slot, you have Jaden Harrison, who's a burner from Marshall, who will be very active in the kickoff return game. You have Logan Saldate, who arrives in June. I think a really good down-the-road slot receiver. So I think he fits in really well. You know, when you're matching up, you look at that nickel on the other team. Which of those guys, you know, do you want a Jordan Faison that's going to take advantage of maybe a little bit slower nickel? Do you want Jaden Greathouse who's going to muscle a skinny, fast nickel?
Okay. It's going to be fun to see those two players for the Irish this
fall.
He
looked good on Saturday, Jaden Greathouse did, in the scrimmage.
Okay. Jaden Thomas. It just feels like he's been on the sideline a lot with nagging injuries the last year or so, and he was not a participant on Saturday due to a hamstring injury. Nothing to be concerned about for the fall, but anytime you talk about a hamstring, they can be nagging and just hang around, unfortunately. If Thomas is down for a little while, or maybe even during the season, because you project him as a starter, as an outside receiver, if JT is down for any length of time, who does that open the door for?
And when we talk in these terms, we're talking as if no one else is leaving, which other people will leave at different positions. I'm not trying to suggest here, but when you're looking at that boundary position, that's an area where you go, who's going to sit and how are they going to handle it? So that is the deepest wide receiver position right now. Deep in talent, deep in proven talent. You have Jaden Thomas. You have Deon Colsey, who's back for his senior year. You have Micah Gilbert, who's been the surprise wide receiver of the spring. He was running with the ones on Saturday ahead of Deon Colsey. And then you have Bo Collins coming in from Clemson, who was a top 50 receiver recruit coming out of high school. And his numbers weren't great last year at Clemson, but were better than anybody on Notre Dame's team. He had more receptions and more receiving yards than anybody on the roster at Notre Dame last year. He's coming in. He's not coming in to sit. So if Jaden Thomas can't pull it together, there are other options at that position. You could even throw, I mean, in a pinch, if everybody got a hamstring, you get a hamstring, you get a hamstring. You could even throw Cam Williams over there. And I'll tell you what, that is a guy that has improved as of late. Now, he's on the other side. He's on the field side.
That C.J. Carr touchdown pass to Cam Williams, that caught a lot of people's attention.
And some other passes too. But, yeah, that did catch my attention because Cam Williams has been kind of quiet. And it's like, whoa, okay, yeah. This is what we were told this guy was going to do.
Hey, trust me, you don't have to throw a perfect spiral to be a great quarterback. There's been a lot of guys who threw the football and it's wobbly, but C.J. Carr throws a tight spiral.
Yep.
Looks good. Looks really good. Okay, finally, Mitchell Evans, Kevin Bauman, a couple of tight ends rehabbing knee injuries. Has there been a tight end this spring that has taken advantage of more reps? Huh.
Cooper Flanagan, who your son's name is Cooper. I guess all Coopers are taking advantage of everything. Cooper Flanagan, though, you know, really honed in on learning the offense. Eli Reardon only recently has been taken off his pitch count, so he's getting full reps. We saw a full shot of Eli, but Mike Denbrock has been really happy with Cooper Flanagan, his blocking, his pass catching. I mean, he's never going to be Michael Mayer type receiver, but he can be a pretty good receiver, especially in a multiple tight end set. I just really like what he's been putting together. And, you know, the thing about that tight end room is, so you have now Eli Reardon and Cooper Flanagan, they're going to play in the blue gold game. And then you have Jack Larson, who Mike Denbrock goes, it's a struggle to get him lined up in the right place right now, which is typical of a early enrolled freshman sometimes. And then you have Davis Sherwood, who's kind of a different type of tight end. He's more of a fullback kind of player. And then you have the two guys that really were good when they were healthy, but Kevin Bauman hasn't been healthy hardly his whole career. So if you get him back, icing on the cake, Mitchell Evans is the guy to watch. And again, November surgery, you know, he suffered that ACL tear at the very end of August against Pitt. So is he going to be ready in August? Is he going to be ready in September? That's the only wild card there. There's enough talent and numbers there, especially if Notre Dame plays more 11 personnel or 21 personnel. There's, I think, adequate numbers. But do you have that top of the rotation guy? I think that's, you know, they are going to have to decide that before the portal closes, whether they want to look at somebody in May. I would lean that they don't go down that road.
I don't either.
Because Evans' timeline, I think you feel good about Evans or Bauman coming back. Bauman's a little ahead in terms of he tore his in August, but he's also a guy that's missed.
Temper expectations.
Yeah, lots of seasons, lots of games.
You can read more of Eric's thoughts on Notre Dame football at InsideIndySports.com. And we'll find out in a second what's happening there. But first, I just want to ask you this, because I'm going to take care of our Twitter question of the day on the other side of the 6 o'clock hour. I want you to answer yesterday's question. I'll give the results later. But probably all three of these answers are very unlikely. But for the fun of conversation, I asked this yesterday on my Twitter X account at 960SportsBeat. Which would be the least surprising Notre Dame football storyline when the first depth chart is released before Texas A&M? So least surprising. Number one, C.J. Carr is the number two quarterback. Number two, Micah Gilbert starts at boundary wide receiver. Number three, KVA starts at Mike, the middle linebacker spot. Which would you be least surprised by? Again, these three, very, very likely, these are not going to happen. But which would be the least surprising of the three?
For me, Kingston Viliamuasa starting at the Mike linebacker, because he's pushing now, and Drake Bowen is having a great spring. And Kingston just keeps coming. It's exciting.
He's a guy, when you watch high school film, it's like he knew what was coming. He diagnoses plays extremely well. I'm excited.
Will you think about the last three five-star linebackers Notre Dame has had? Look at the last two before Kingston. Manti Te'o and Jalen Smith. I mean,
it worked out.
Just fine.
Okay, I'll have the results of that question and today's question coming up in just a couple of moments. But back to InsideIndySports.com. That's Eric's baby covering Notre Dame athletics as part of the Rivals Network. What should fans expect now? And we probably should talk about the weekend, since one of the biggest days of the offseason is Saturday with the Blue Gold game.
Right. So one thing I want to mention real quick is we have a special going. Buy 1 month, get three free. And it's promo code NDSpring24. All you have to do, you don't even have to remember that. Just go to InsideIndySports.com. Right at the top of the page, we have the word exclusive, which is Darren's favorite word, and just click on that and it'll take you to the special. But what we have coming up, I had a live chat today, so the transcript is up. I had a story on the new men's basketball transfer. Matt, we're going with Alico. We had a story on Adon Schuler. We have a podcast tomorrow. Hunter Bivin is going to join us. And if you're curious about the legacy weekend with all the alums coming back, who's coming back, how many, you want to listen to that. And Darren, there's always much, much more. But Saturday, we're going to have tons of Blue Gold coverage. We'll have a YouTube show afterwards so you can see Tyler and I in our shirts, in our living rooms.
Oh, you're not going to have shirtless YouTube episode. You're going to have shirts on.
We want people to watch it.
I was wondering where you were going with that. You said you're wearing shirts. Is that not the norm? When I've watched, you've always had shirts on. A lot of people are wondering what people wear, you know, below the desk, but I'm not really concerned about that.
We're just going to leave it there.
Wait.
I'll have my living room vacuumed. How's that? Oh, I promise that. Remember when I had the vacuum cleaner?
During COVID, I think it was, right?
Yeah. We have too much fun.
So you'll have a shirt on. You'll have pajama bottoms on, probably. You'll have a nice cold water, and you'll be talking Notre Dame football.
Cold water and usually a cup of coffee.
So that's on YouTube.com. So what do people search to find you?
Just search for Inside ND Sports, our channel. You'll find the channel and you'll see post-game takeaways. We got a bunch of paid views on our scrimmage takeaways last week. Way more than our football never sleeps.
And you had shirts on.
And we had shirts
on. Can you imagine if you didn't wear shirts, the number people of hits that you would get?
You'd have to bring the puke bucket, I think.
All right.
No one wants to see that.
I just wish Tyler was listening right now when you said, we're going to have shirts on. Oh, man.
Maybe even a tie. Who knows?
I'll tell you what. I will say this. If you ever wanted to pick up the number of viewer clicks you get from the females, have Marcus Freeman on without the shirt, and that probably would lead to record numbers, I have a feeling.
Absolutely. It's way better than the alternative.
Oh, Tyler's thinking, what have I gotten myself into? All right. Eric, we will talk to you again tomorrow. We'll have your chat recap, and I would love for you to lay out things that you're going to be looking for in the Blue Goal game so our listeners have maybe a couple of things to watch out for on Saturday.
That sounds great.
We'll do it then. All right. Very good. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You
or
too.
Or night. Excuse me. The whole shirt thing's got me thrown off. All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5.
You're flustered.
I am really flustered. And we are wearing shirts on Twitch right now. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we will have the results of that Twitter question of the day. You'll hear from two dynamic freshmen pushing for playing time, Bryce Young and Micah Gilbert. We'll talk a little Irish basketball. One player coming in from Princeton, another one going to Illinois, and we'll have our sports wagering segment. It is 6:05. Sports update coming up in a moment on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.